Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, Labour Senator Rebecca Moynihan has been calling for people who live alone or in single-parent households to be able to form support bubbles. She wants the measure to help people cope with the new restrictions coming in at midnight tonight, which ban any visitors to our homes or gardens. Senator Moynihan is on the line now, and in a moment we'll also be speaking to activist and academic Alva Smith. I'll start with yourself, Rebecca. Why do you believe this new restriction is necessary?
I think during the last lockdown, you had 400,000 people that didn't have any socialisation for a couple of months. And I think that contributed hugely to loneliness and isolation, particularly amongst our elderly population. Initial research, this has been used in New Zealand. The UK have adopted it. There's other countries around Europe that have adopted this concept of social bubbles or social support. And the initial research has said that it's been very helpful in increasing contacts, lessening isolation, improving people's mental health while not increasing risk. I think everybody understands that the numbers are rising, that we need to get down community transmission. I'm not suggesting that you can be able to swap around social bubbles or social contacts, but I think it's reasonable that, let's say, an elderly relative and a family are allowed to form a social bubble, or two single households are allowed to form a social bubble. I think everybody needs to have a support network in place, and this is a way of doing it without increasing community transmission or loosening of the rules. There's 400,000 people across the state, about 24% of people who live alone. That's a very significant portion of the population that last night got word that they weren't allowed to have any more household visits very, very suddenly. It's not a way to communicate that. And every time I've raised this issue, I very much have hit a raw nerve with people. Mm. People contacting me privately saying, I cannot do another lockdown like I have done before. I think this is a reasonable intervention and something that the government should consider.
Okay, and yet a lot of those people that you're talking about who are living alone, and not all of them obviously, but certainly some of them, would be in the category that would be most vulnerable to the virus. So do you see any risks here, even within the social bubble, that this would increase the risk of transmission?
Well, I think you have vulnerable people who live in household and vulnerable people who live in family units. What this is a way of identifying the people who are going to be your social support during, you know, when we're moving up levels or if we're going to another lockdown. This is the way of identifying those small number of contacts, but also making sure that you have a social outlet or you have support. And yes, they are amongst the people who are most vulnerable. But the idea of somebody who is amongst the most vulnerable being left at home alone and, you know, only having contact through mobile phones or screens, I also think is very, very unfair. And we have to look at the loneliness crisis and epidemic that this pandemic has caused.
Mm. Okay, stay with us if you don't mind, Rebecca. As I said, we also have Alva Smith on the line. And Alva, you're someone who does live alone. So what did you think when you heard the news last night? None of us were expecting the restrictions on household visits. What was your response?
Well, it was very dispiriting. I mean, it was not unexpected, and I absolutely understand why this has to happen. But at the same time, the thought that yet again, having already done 6.5, nearly 7 months of a complete lockdown, that I would be in a situation where no human being would cross the threshold of my door into my house. I mean, inevitably, that strikes fear, terror, anxiety and all kinds of other things into the heart of the most independent people who feel that they have managed something for a long time, but that there are costs. And we know that for older people, people who have vulnerabilities, health issues. And I'm also thinking of, you know, people who are raising their kids on their own, single parents. It's very, very difficult. I personally know a lot of people in the LGBT community of whatever age who are not close to their families, may even be estranged from them. There are many, many, many groups of people who must be thinking to themselves today, this is going to be very hard, maybe too hard in terms of mental health.
Were you having visitors over the last couple of weeks or months?
Well, very cautiously, because, you know, certainly as somebody aged 74, and I do have a medical condition, like so many other people in my situation are similar, you know, you're not actually going to run out there and start socialising hectically or running unnecessary risks, because, well, frankly, I don't want to get COVID-19 because I don't want to die. I think it's a bit too young. And therefore, you're going to be pretty careful. So, yes, I did see people. Yes, two or three or four people have dropped in. We've been socially distanced, and we've either sat in outside or else across, you know, a 2 metre gap of a table or a chair or something, had a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and it hugely relieves that sense of being isolated and, I think, really abandoned. And all of the research that's coming out at the moment shows that this lack of human contact is incredibly bad for people. I mean, very bad for our mental health, but also very bad for our physical well-being, that we actually are, our resistance to infection tends to go up when we are very, our lack of resistance, well, it goes down. The resistance goes down when we're depressed or when we feel isolated or very on our own. And I'm just thinking, you know, of so many older people all around Ireland living maybe in already very isolated situations. And to think that the neighbour who called in a couple of times a week won't be able to do that. I mean, apart from anything else, it just kind of breaks your heart, because
and
no
will you
human
do it,
beings
Helga,
can live like that.
Will you do it, I wonder? Will you be able to do it, go back into it again? You've been asked to do it now by the government, but
well,
as you say, you've been very careful in your socialising in your house. So what will you do?
Well, I think I'll be rooting along with Rebecca and others for the proposal that we have these kinds of supports of choice, so that there are two or three people maybe who you do see, you agree to see, and with, you know, all care and attention, that you go on seeing, because it is simply not possible. The latest research from the States is showing that the deprivation of social contact, and particularly of physical touch, is actually really bad for people's health.
Okay.
So, you know, we do want to survive this as much as just, it's not just about day to day. We also have to think of the longer term.
Yeah.
And I am begging government to look at what they're doing in the UK and to say that makes sense.
And can I ask you, Rebecca, the Minister for Health was speaking this morning and in around this issue, and he was saying that we need to trust people to decide whether they have compassionate grounds for visiting another household in the coming weeks. So there is a bit of a grey area, isn't there? The government website as well does specifically mention essential purposes for visiting people. It says family reasons such as providing care to children, elderly or vulnerable people, and in particular those who live alone. So they have given a bit of wriggle room for social visits there, haven't they?
Look, I'm not sure about that. I think the UK government provided detailed advice of a number of different scenarios, perhaps too detailed, and I'm not suggesting that they go into that level of detail. But I think the idea that you can only go and provide for people who are, you know, vulnerable or caring, for example, like just listening to Alva, somebody like Alva doesn't think of herself as vulnerable. You know, she's a vivacious, independent woman, and she's not going to say, come and visit me because I'm a vulnerable person. I think people need social contacts and they need social bubbles. Yes, some people will be doing it for vulnerable members of their family, but also isolation is a really, really big thing, and I don't think it's fair. 400,000 people across this state live alone. I don't think it's fair to put every single one of those into a vulnerable bubble. And what you are going to have is people, to their own health and detriment, will decide not to break those rules, because they will be very, very conscious of trying not to contribute to the spread of the virus. But social bubbles, when used well in other countries, have showed that you can increase contact, decrease loneliness, and not increase the risk to people. And I think it's a mature society.
And when you say it's done well in other countries, what are the risks here that it wouldn't be done well? Because NPHET has been very clear about socialising, trying to cut down on contacts. The government now has also been very clear on not visiting other households. You know, a bubble
yeah,
does go
only,
against that. Go on, Alva, yeah.
You're only talking about contact maybe with two or three people. If I were living in a family situation, that's what I would be having. My daughter lives in London with the kids, my grandkids and so on. So, but if they were here, And I were living in the same house as them, I would be having that kind of contact. So this is about saying, look, one or two or three people who are, you know, if you like, carefully vetted, but you're saying to them, well, look, you need to tell me if you're going out socialising a great deal. And I would like to say to Rebecca that, yes, you know, I am an up and running, very fit, very independent person, but it is very lonely. It is extremely lonely. And I can tell you that I don't think of myself. I do think of myself as vulnerable to COVID-19. Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah. And we have a text here, Alva, that I'd just like to put to you. This person saying, shouldn't we be stressing what is allowed and safe? For example, it is still allowable to meet a friend for a walk while social distancing. You know, so yeah. we can't have people in our houses or in our gardens, but we can go out and meet them. Is that enough?
Well,
because it is a short enough period of time that we know of that we're being asked to do this.
Yes. Well, I think we're going to be looking at this and having to plan for a number of months. I hate to put any kind of date on it, but I don't think that this is going to end anytime soon. I think we're going to be in and out of these situations. And we need to look at the real life needs of large numbers of people in particular kinds of groups and to start catering for them. You know, I think that it is worthwhile the government being a little less grey about it. They haven't been slow to spell out a lot of things. So I think that they need to spell out a little bit more what people can do to ensure that they have appropriate sorts of supports to maintain their well-being during these difficult times. That would be a very positive way of looking at it.
Okay, a couple more texts on this. One person says, it's not just old people. I'm 49 and not married. I live alone. The thoughts of isolation again is so upsetting. And then Shane in Dublin says, Rebecca makes a lot of sense here. Lots of people who are vulnerable in households are close contacts. We can't have people becoming even more isolated. So you've put your suggestion forward, Rebecca. Have you got any response to it finally?
No, I haven't got any response from the government to it. I hope that they will look at that over the coming, over this week, if they're thinking of moving to level four. The one thing that I would say, Sarah, is in the UK, you pick an exclusive household that you are going to bubble with. So you can't swap and change. So it's not a case of having one other household that you're bubbling with on a Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. It's a group of people who come together and come together as essentially a household and a family unit. So I think it's much more controlled than, let's say, going for a walk with whatever friend that you wanted. It's a bubble for you to have support over.
Okay, well, we will be returning to this later in the programme with the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, and indeed John Cook has been looking into it for us as well. But thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. That's Rebecca Moynihan, Labour Senator, and academic Alva Smith.